أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين. ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون. ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء والله على كل شيء قدير. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن بطش ربك لشديد إنه هو يبدئ ويعيد وهو الغفور الودود ذو العرش المجيد فعال لما يريد. هل أتاك حديث الجنود فرعون وثمود بني الذين كفروا في تكذيب والله من ورائهم محيط بل هو قرآن مجيد في لوح محفوظ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا مباركا طيبا فيه. اللهم ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله النبي الكريم، على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين، على نبي الرحمة، على رحمة للعالمين سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد بن عبد الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك، وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. My beloved brothers, we praise Allah Azza wa Jal, our creator, our sustainer, our nourisher, our maintainer, the most merciful. And we allow the choices of mercies and blessings to be upon the one that I love and the one that you love, none other than Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we travel the world, as we go to many different countries, we find that many times we find the ummah to be in the low. And many people, they complain of depression, etc. And we say to them, the best antidepressant is to recite the Holy Quran. And on the other hand, we have this beautiful gift of durood. So wherever we go, and we want contentment and peace of the heart, let us engage ourselves in recitation of the durood. Alhamdulillah, within our deen, there is so many blessings, so many blessings. And if I may call it, we have so many tools to deal with life. But many a times we fail to end up using the tools that we have at hand to help us get through life, to help elevate our emotions, to help elevate our spirits, and help us travel and traverse through the phases of life. My beloved brothers, alhamdulillah, it's beautiful to be back in Pangani. I don't know whether it's still summer or winter here. Subhanallah, Allah has blessed you. On one hand, the weather seems very warm and the hospitality is even warmer, mashallah. And I want to thank my host, Maulana Suleiman. Mashallah, Allah give him a long, healthy life for inviting me. And ultimately, the community in Pangani, you've brought me here today because we have fikr for the ummah. You have a fikr and a worry and the concern for the ummah. And with that in hand, Allah will always bless this community, inshallah. You have a fikr and a concern and a worry for the ummah. You want to hear about the plight of the ummah. You want to hear about the plight of humanity in different parts of the world. And that's the main maqsad and objective for me coming here. So with that in hand, Allah bless every one of you. And more than anything else, it's a Saturday night. It's your family time. But you've chosen to be here in the masjid. And with me, alhamdulillah, all the small little kids here. Allah really bless each and every one of you. My beloved brothers, what can I tell you? The ummah is in a crisis. The ummah is in a crisis. Wherever you go in the world, you will find that Muslims are facing trials, tribulations, challenges, etc. Some of them may be on a micro level, some may be on a macro level, some may be on a social level. But in different facets of life and the spectrum of life, we find that the ummah is facing different challenges, different crises, you know, different trials, tribulations, etc. Before we speak about what happened in Mozambique, let us quickly introspect, reflect, and ponder about what's our purpose here in life. My beloved brothers, I tell you from the very outset that, you know, life, there is no guarantee for life. No guarantee whatsoever for life. Every one of us, if we take this opportune moment right now here in the masjid and introspect into our hearts And take a moment and ponder, what guarantee do we have that any one of us can still walk out of this masjid alive? This is the reality of life. You are here today and the next day you are gone. How many times have we heard of people who perform salah with us? They perform salah with us and in that very same salah they passed on. We've heard of people of this sort. How many times have heard, and for the youth that are here today, all the youngsters that are here today, there's no guarantee in life that we will see old age. Alhamdulillah, I'm very fortunate. I see my grandmother, she's 97 years of age, and with her age, she still makes a lot of ibadah. But we have no guarantee, the youth that are here, we have no guarantee that we will see that age. If you come to, I don't know how the dynamics here in Pangeni, but the dynamics in Johannesburg are such, if you go to the Qabristan, go to the West Park Qabristan, speak to the people that are dealing with burying people, and you know, kafan and dafan, etc. And they will tell you, we mostly bury young people nowadays. We are mostly burying young people nowadays. So no guarantee at all whatsoever. So time is limited. Life is limited. Our time in the dunya is limited. This morning, I attended a majlis of Dr. Abdul Qadir Hansasab, who is a very, very pious individual. And we are still very fortunate, alhamdulillah, in our country, we still have pious people around us. And for the youth that are here today, I say to you, if you're looking for real inspiration, then spend time with the pious people. Don't follow people on social media. It's all a facade. You know, you may learn something here and there. You may learn something here and there. But at the end of the day, deen is imparted from heart to heart. You know, as one person said to me, you know, if you get a couple, a boy and a girl, and then they fall in love online. They'll never be able to make a baby until the two souls meet and come together. In the same way, if we want the true, real, heart-to-heart, you know, the spirit of deen and the spirit of taqwa, etc., we must keep the real company, the physical company, the true company with those that are pious and those that have found Allah Azza wa Jal. So nevertheless, this morning, Dr. Abdul Qadir Hansa, he was giving us a majlis, and I know I'm digressing a bit, but it's something which is on my mind and my chest. And he says, we should never ever lose hope. We should never ever lose hope. You know, because alhamdulillah, we are still very fortunate. We are still very fortunate that in our lives, we still have some deen. And we got to be so grateful, and we got to express gratitude to our forefathers and all of those before us that helped establish the deen. Otherwise, what would have been our state? And because we have a little bit of that deen still in our lives, inshallah ta'ala azza wa jal, we will be successful in the akhirah. So we never fall into any depression. We never become depressed at all. We always look for hope. And alhamdulillah, we do have a lot of hope. But we cannot take that for granted as well. We cannot continue saying things are okay, all well and good, and we take things for granted. No, we shouldn't be doing that as well. We cannot become complacent. Because when communities become complacent and when Muslims become complacent, then eventually we lose everything. Because our shaitan is also working very, very hard to cripple us. So my beloved brothers, as I'm speaking, I was in Germany for the last few days of Ramadan. And then again we find, alhamdulillah, lot of Muslims, lots of refugees have come into Germany. But sadly, many of them are losing their Islam and their deen. Many of them are losing the Islam and their deen. So the point that I'm trying to make, time is limited in the dunya. We don't have enough time. Death can meet any one of us at any time. Any time death will come and meet us. And when we move into the akhirah, we are going to be answerable for our deeds and our time on this earth. So every one of us, we should remind ourselves that time is limited. You know, we visit many disasters across the globe. I know I'm here to speak about Mozambique, but because it comes into my heart, let me just quickly tell you about Indonesia, about Palu. When I went to the city of Palu last year after the tsunami, you know, when I got there, it reminded me, I honestly thought of Qiyamah because people became so desperate. People were literally running around the city looking for morsels of food and little breadcrumbs. That was the reality. The Western media will not show you this desperation because it involves Muslims. But I'm telling you, that was the reality. When we came there, I met some ulama and I met some brothers and I said to them, I want to see the tsunami areas. They said to me, Sheikh, hold your horses. Why are you so much in a hurry? We need to introduce to you and we need to see certain other more phenomenon which had taken place here. Strange phenomenon. First place we went to an area. In this area, 2 square kilometers. 2 square kilometers. The earth liquefied. The earth became into quicksand and it swallowed everything in its path. People didn't even have the time to get off their houses or get off their beds to escape that. They died in those conditions. In those conditions, there was no time. The ground swallowed everything. We moved to a second area. In this second area, from the ground, mud emerged. Millions of tons of mud. And it just began to sweep everything in its path. Houses, cars, people, whatever it was. There was no warning whatsoever. The point that I'm trying to make, when moth comes, there's no warning about it. It can meet us at any time. Then we went off to go see the tsunami-stricken areas. My brothers, what can I tell you? You open that car door, that buggy or that van door, and they will take those bodies away, and they will give them some kafan, and they make janaza salah, and they will bury those bodies in Muslim Qabristan. For the rest, if they cannot make out who you are, right, you go into the mass grave. You go into the mass grave. So again, the youth that are here, I'm not here to lecture you. I'm speaking to you, one of your own. When we in the world, we must be very, very, very careful as to how we conduct ourselves, where we do what we do, where we go. Be very, very, very careful because death can meet us at any point in time. So my beloved brothers, Allah gives us also many opportunities, many different opportunities to turn towards Him, to introspect, to take stock of our lives. Allah gives us these opportunities now and again. And all these happenings around us, all these disasters, whether it's natural disasters or man-made disasters, whatever you want to term them, whatever you want to term these disasters, but it's an opportunity for us. It's an opportunity for us to take stock of our lives, to introspect, because we could also be in that position tomorrow. The cyclone which battered Mozambique, if Allah wanted to, it could have come into South Africa as well. It was so close. Stone's throw away. It was so close. Allah could have brought it here. The point that I'm making, all these disasters we see, all these occurrences, strange phenomenon, which is taking part in the world or taking place in the world, it's an opportunity for me and for you to turn our lives around for the better. First myself. So my beloved brothers, I know it's a Saturday night. I don't want to hold you up too long. And you know, I don't know if it's a sleepy town or not. Maybe you can tell me about that. But with regards to Mozambique, when we first got news of the cyclone, which was now coming towards Mozambique, and we do know, we belong, as part of Al Imdad Foundation, we belong to the Global Disaster Alert System network. We belong to this network. And daily we get alerts and updates of different phenomena in the world. Any seismic activity in the world, immediately we get a message. And let me tell you, brothers, every single day in the world, somewhere on the globe, there's an earthquake that takes place. But only it doesn't get reported in the media. We that are active in the humanitarian fraternity, we see it. Of recent, we find that cyclones and severe storms are becoming the norm. In different parts of the world, these cyclones, etc., are becoming the norm. We always make dua, Allah don't test us. We are weak. Allah never tests us. But from this, we also take lessons. We must also take lessons that we need to also prepare. We prepare for the afterlife, for the hereafter. We prepare for that. And we also prepare in the sense that Allah, we make dua daily. Allah, don't test us with these calamities, etc. So with regards to Cyclone Idai, we were monitoring this cyclone. And I wanted to think about something. Data, analysis, and experts who interpret the data, we projected that this cyclone will hit at least about 60 to 40 kilometers away from the city of Beira. And guess what? Every analyst, every expert was completely wrong. When the cyclone hit, what are the odds of this? It hit directly to the city of Beira. Now, for those of us who don't know the dynamics of Mozambique, as you move further north, you will see that the Muslim population increases rapidly, alhamdulillah. Islam is strong in those parts of the country. Some people say about 60% of Mozambique are Muslim. And alhamdulillah, again, we thank our ulama. We thank our ulama from South Africa, especially our kabira ulama, our senior ulama, that through their wisdom, their efforts, they didn't only concentrate about fortifying Islam here in South Africa. They've also helped to fortify Islam in our neighboring country of Mozambique. And alhamdulillah, as we go into all these areas, you'll see maktabs established by our ulama from South Africa. These maktabs also, alhamdulillah, on an annual basis, our ulama go out to these maktabs to do imtihan, etc. Right? So the point that I'm making, let us not forget about the sincere efforts that our forefathers have also made, that today, alhamdulillah, deen is still alive in different parts of the world. Nevertheless, if you look at Beira, this entire province, people are very impoverished. If you want to see poverty, I tell you, my brothers, don't go too far away. Look at our doorstep. Look at our doorstep. You'll be shocked what poverty you see. I mean, I've been visiting Mozambique in a year. I go there quite often, alhamdulillah. I have an opportunity. And trust me, when you go into all the rural areas of Mozambique, you'll be shocked at the poverty. In today's zamana, in today's modern day era, you still see people who don't have clothes to clothe themselves. You will still find people right at our doorstep, they don't have clothing to clothe themselves. When you move into all of these rural areas, when you see how people live, you know, when you talk to people in the time of Qurbani, they will say to you, this is the only time in the year that we have some meat to eat on. This is the reality. This is the reality, my beloved brothers. That's why there's no way whatsoever we can speak about extravagance and about wasting in our lives. And my brothers, wallahi, I'm not here to lecture you. I'm just speaking to myself first. I'm reminding myself first. I'm not here to touch on any sensitive hearts. So we got to be very, very, very careful how we live in today's times. Because poverty is on the increase. Poverty is on the increase across the globe. So this is to understand the dynamics before the cyclone had battered Mozambique. Nevertheless, when Cyclone Idai hit, people said to me, the strength of the winds which came with that, they did not expect it. They did not expect it. And a lot of people said to me, the sound, the howling sound that came with that wind, that would instill even more fear into your heart than anything else. 95% of the dwellings in the city of Beira, the roofs were all blown away. Okay, let's move on after that. As the cyclone progressed, it moved on into more rural areas. If you had went and visited these rural areas before the cyclone, you will find that people live in very lopsided, weak dwellings and structures. You know, what we would normally see, you know, in our townships here, pretty much the same. You know, there's a little bit of corrugated iron, and that's about it. That's the home. And in many parts of Mozambique, people still build their homes with mud. And they use some kind of sheeting just to cover the roof. So I'm asking you the question. In Beira, the city of Beira, which has solid structures, solid buildings, if 95% of the roofs were blown away, what are the chances of any dwellings or any homes or structures having the chance to still stand in that cyclone? The chances are completely zero. So after the cyclone, as we went out into the rural areas, it was very, very difficult to find homes which still stood. Nearly every home we visualized were completely destroyed. Completely destroyed. My beloved brothers, what I'm telling you, we've never seen in my life, I've never seen flooding like how I've seen after Cyclone Idai. When we took the flight, we were one of the first organizations to go. When we took the flight from Johannesburg, and as you fly over, at least for 20 to 25 minutes of flight time, 20 to 25 minutes of flight time, you're only seeing water. You cannot differentiate if it's land or it's sea. Wallahi, if Allah needs to change the sea, the land into sea, He can do it. If Allah wants to change the soil into liquid, He can do it. I'm seeing it too many times in my life. As I told you, 2 square kilometers of land in Indonesia, liquefied. Liquefied. Scientists are still baffled. Till today, people are baffled. How did this liquefy? Normally, you find a sand pit
where you will have some quicksand. 2 square kilometers became quicksand. So if Allah wants to change the land into water, He can do it. And here in Mozambique, we saw it. You're flying, flight time, 20 to 25 minutes as you look out, you only see water. No differentiation if it's sea or land. No differentiation whether it's a river or it's not the river. That's the amount of water. That's the amount of water which the cyclone brought in. That's how much of rain came through. My beloved brothers, remember, because of the magnitude of this disaster, because of the magnitude of this disaster, although there was a lot of warnings which went out into the masses out there, into the rural areas, a lot of warnings, but with that, still 1,000 people died. Still 1,000 people died. The flooding was extensive, you know. Most of the infrastructure, most of the crucial infrastructure was washed away. There was a time when you could only access Beira through the air. You could only access it through the air or through the ship or through water. The main bridges leading into the city of Beira or to the entire region, or the entire region for that sake, was all completely destroyed, washed away. When we ventured out to go and see these areas, subhanAllah, it was only a week after the cyclone had hit. But the water, the amount of water, it was just unbelievable. It was unbelievable, the amount of water. You know, again, you cannot differentiate where the river is. I asked one brother, okay, the river seems to be here. And he said to me, no, it's about 60 kilometers that way. 60 kilometers that way, that's where the river is. So can you understand? Imagine from Stanga, right after Impangeni, complete water. That is it. So how many people were displaced? In Cyclone Idai, over 3 million people were displaced. We talk about displacement in other parts of the world. Look at about the displacement of people right here at our doorstep. Again, call a spade, right? A lot of this did not reach the media, or the media didn't make a big hoo-ha about it. Why? Because it's Africa. Who wants to bother about Africa? No big hoo-ha made in the... There was a lot of reporting, etc. in the media. But after that, it all fizzled out. Again, when the cyclone happened, the whole world came. From different countries, people came. Right? Also, a lot of them came for their own reasons. Cyclone, gone. People are still living in that abject poverty. No one is there. No one is there to see them through. All those NGOs and those countries that responded, they're not there. You know what we call that? We call it a helicopter operation. A helicopter operation is you come there, you make some noise, you blow some dust, but in this case you're blowing mud, right? And then you leave. That is it. I mean, so what's the main maqsad of helping people? Just to get your media footage? Is that what you want? You know, when we help people, we need to help them sincerely and truly. When we talk about taking people out of poverty, we need to take them out of poverty sincerely. And we need to empower them correctly. This is what true Islam teaches us. This is what Islam teaches us. And alhamdulillah, Allah's fazl, at the end of the day, Muslim organizations like the Al-Imdad Foundation, till today are still there continuing the work amongst the people. Alhamdulillah, Al-Imdad is still very, 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 very active on the ground, alhamdulillah. Speaking about the cyclone and about the flooding, there's one area, a town called Buzi. Buzi may be about 70 or 80 kilometers away from Beira. This place was completely cut off. Completely cut off. There was no way you could get to the town of Buzi except by helicopter. Anyway, we got a lot of reports from the pilots who were flying the helicopters from the SANDF, and they were saying to us, people are stuck on roofs. There was one school, about over 100 people were sitting on the roof there. It's a week has passed by. Can you understand if you were in that position on that roof, sitting there for a week? Sitting there for a week, because why? All around you is just water. And what worsened and exacerbated the situation even more was that there were a few crocodile farms in this area. And when the flood waters raised, most of these crocs had escaped. You can go back, you can Google it, you can check, you can concur with me. And we found that a lot of people were actually attacked by these crocodiles. People would go up into the trees. I'm talking, this is at our doorstep, Mozambique. People would go up into the trees to try and save themselves from the flooding. And out of exhaustion, no food, no clean water, you fall into the water, and then who zaps you? The crocodiles. It may seem as a fairy tale, but this is the reality on the ground. This is what exactly and truly happened here in Mozambique. So nevertheless, we had decided that we need to go towards this town of Buzi. And we heard a lot about this place Buzi because apparently they say there's one very, very pious person who's buried in Buzi. And some people feel that it could have been Musa ibn Biq. Musa ibn Biq is the person who brought Islam to Mozambique. So people say it could have been him. But nevertheless, a lot of people from that area, Buzi, a lot of Muslims reside there. They said to us the flood waters didn't affect that specific qabr. I did not see it myself. Allahu alam, I'm just relating this to you. We decided we needed to go to Buzi. What's the only way to get to Buzi? Helicopter, you need a chopper. But we need to take aid, we need to take food. So what do? We heard that the Indian military were in town. So we said, it's a crisis situation, the whole world is coming here to assist. Now India sent in two huge, huge military ships. You know, the real warships with over 1,000 sailors. What's the reason for that? Allahu alam. Maybe vested interest in the region, etc. Only Allah knows best. Nevertheless, we met the captain of the entire operation. And we said to him, we want to use some of your boats. We have small boats, we have aid, and we need to go to the town of Buzi to give this aid. So he said to us, okay, we'll see how we can assist you. But for now, what you call it, we cannot be today. Maybe in 2 days' time only we can assist you. So we had our own mashwara, and we decided people are suffering. We're getting some reports that a lot of Muslims are affected there. We need to do something now. So alhamdulillah, we managed to get ourselves a good-sized boat, which takes about 40 tons of aid. And alhamdulillah, we began to fill that vessel with aid. And the next morning, after Fajr, we left. Anyway, we went via the sea channel and we found a river, and you actually go through the river. And eventually, it's very, very challenging. We hit a sandbank and we nearly capsized. But Allah protected us, Allah saved us. Eventually, we became bogged down in that place. It was a very, very trying time. As we're sitting there, you know, you are in the middle of nowhere. No one can assist you. You know, there's no military out there to come and assist you. You're in the middle of nowhere. There's water around you. And then with all of that, you see crocodiles. So subhanAllah, what do? Eventually, alhamdulillah, we had a satellite phone, we made a few calls, and eventually, alhamdulillah, the same Indian military, they sent some boats to come and assist us. And eventually they pulled us out of this, and we came to the town of Buzi. My beloved brothers, again, when you want to see desperation, Allah must protect us from this condition of desperation. Because you can become crazy, you can become mad. As this vessel of ours was coming close to this town of Buzi, already people became agitated. People were becoming excited. And luckily, there were some people from the military who are now with us. And alhamdulillah, they managed to give us some protection. And we managed to distribute the 40 tons of aid in somewhat systematic manner. You know, we were distributing aid while still in flood waters. Whilst still in flood waters. We found other people that came in, special forces from other countries. I wouldn't want to mention the names. Special forces from other countries came. They came with certain politicians only to make a presence. Only to make a presence. Not coming with the real aid and the real food to help people. And this is the world we live in today. Wallahi, this is the world we live in today. People want to make a presence in these disaster zones. What is it? So you can put something on social media, or you got a new profile picture, or you got something for your Instagram story. Is that what it's all about? And this is the reality we're living in. And to the youth that are here today, all I'm saying, let's not get drowned in social media. Let's not get drowned in social media. It's not the real life. It's not the real thing. On the ground, it's completely something different. Nevertheless, alhamdulillah, people gave us a lot of dua. You know, and with all of that, with all of their desperation, you know, with all of their desperation, alhamdulillah, we still managed to conduct an orderly, somewhat orderly distribution for the people of Buzi. Alhamdulillah, thereafter, as the days passed on, we managed to filter in more aid to the city, to the town of Buzi. And Alhamdulillah, things started to come right. And we must thank our Muslim community in South Africa that Alhamdulillah, from various parts of the country, people sent aid. Whether it was in cash or kind, but people sent aid. Like, Alhamdulillah, people opened their hearts and sent. And a time had come, Alhamdulillah, we had over 80 tons in stock. 80 tons of food aid in stock, Alhamdulillah. And shukr, as I mentioned to you from my beginning statements, that the people of Beira, the people of this region, were already very impoverished before the disaster happened. In fact, one brother even said to me, perhaps maybe this cyclone is a blessing in disguise. It's a blessing in disguise because now the world knows our plight and now the world can see of what we have been living through all these years. So my beloved brothers, we can continue speaking about the different things which happened, you know, how people had dealt with the situation. You know, but for us, from the humanitarian fraternity, it was also very, very, very sad. Alhamdulillah, Arindar was there on the ground. It was tough, you know. It's not easy to move in these areas. You know, there's a concern with regards to security. There's a concern for your own health. It's a dangerous zone, you know. But with all of that, Alhamdulillah, we stuck it out and we decided, no, whatever it takes, we have got to be here to assist people. And Alhamdulillah, aid began to filter. And we had different people, different organizations, different communities from different parts of the world. They had come to the Al-Imdad Foundation and they asked Al-Imdad to assist in facilitating aid. I'm going to start wrapping up, but what actually happened eventually, we had a very, very sad incident. And the reason why I'm relating this incident to you is I want to say to you that death can reach us at any point in time. We had two brothers that came from the UK. And they also had come to come and do some good work and some distributions. And the one morning, they went to the town of Buzi. And because there are so many people to assist and help, they ended up leaving the town of Buzi only after Isha. By this time, Alhamdulillah, there were some makeshift bridges in place, etc., which made things a bit more easier. On the way back, they met up in an accident. And the one brother from Mozambique, he passed away. The other brother from the UK, he passed away. And the other brother from the UK, he was severely, severely injured. You know, so this really, you know, it really brought us down because, you know, we were quite traumatized. We were quite shocked. These are our own people, people we work with. And yet they come from so far to assist people. And they lost their lives whilst assisting people. This one brother I want to speak about who lost his life, who passed on. We make dua for him. Allah grant him the highest status in Jannah. When he went to the town of Buzi, I asked the brothers who were with him, what did this brother Basharat do? Brother Basharat was only 38 or 39 years old. He learned to read Quran from a person called Mufti Zaid Rangila. Mufti Zaid Rangila is from Johannesburg. He teaches in the UK. This brother at that age was learning to Quran with his children in the same madrasa by Mufti Zaid Rangila. On that day, they say this brother, he was so touched. His heart was so touched by what he had seen in the town of Buzi that after the whole distribution had happened, he decided to go back walking in this town of Buzi and again, whatever funds he had on himself, his own personal funds, he dished it out to every home that he saw that was destroyed. Right? His last few moments in the world, this is how he spent it. With him, walking with him, were a huge group of children. And he said each of those children, he had given them sweets. And they said many times Brother Basharat sat down and he cried. He cried because he could not understand. We living in the UK, you know, we have all the amenities. That little sweet, they said he cried because a little sweet, a child would sit down and relish that little sweet. Just that one insignificant sweet, that's how much it meant to that child. And little did he know that would be his last time, that he would be doing some good in the dunya, and a few hours later, he had passed on. My beloved brothers, I've given you a bit of a background with regards to Cyclone Idai, what has happened, its aftermath, its destruction, you know, how many people were displaced. Over 1,000 people had died. You know, they say over a few thousand, up to 6,000 dwellings were destroyed. You know, we can speak about statistics, we can go on, you know, just parroting out statistics. Where to from here? What do we do? Alhamdulillah, through the fazl of Allah Azza wa Jal, the Al-Imdad Foundation is an ulama guided organization. And again, I'll stress this point, that we are very, very, very careful when it comes to the discharging of zakat. Very, very, very careful when it comes to the discharging of zakat. And ultimately, we follow every masdar masail strictly when it comes to the discharging of zakat. Other people may have their own opinions, that's to them, but we follow the masdar masail very, very, very strictly. And alhamdulillah, at every level and structure of the organization, we have ulama to guide us, alhamdulillah. So, as I mentioned to you, wherever we work in the world, we try and assist and help people in a very sustainable manner. In a very, very sustainable manner. We do not like to go into a place, you know, dish out aid just for that little time and leave. We try to help people correctly and properly and sincerely. So alhamdulillah, after the emergency phase was completed, we've now entered the rehabilitation phase. In this rehabilitation phase, we decided that the need of the hour is to help people reconstruct their homes. And more than anything else, at least if we can provide them the material to reconstruct at least the roofs, because most of the times the roofs of these homes have flown off. So alhamdulillah, we are now providing reconstruction packs for the people of Mozambique, right? A reconstruction pack, inshallah ta'ala azza wa jal, it's high quality wood, high quality corrugated iron, etc., with the various tools, etc. And this goes at 3,000 rands per pack. 3,000 rands per pack. Alhamdulillah, we are accepting zakat for this. We are properly discharging it. The recipient becomes the malik and the owner of this aid as well. So alhamdulillah, these construction packs, reconstruction packs, reconstruction building packs are now the need of the hour. With that, we are continuing to give food as well. We are continuing to give food as well. We cannot salvage and save the entire crisis. We cannot do that. But we will try our level best to see who we can assist and who we can help. There are many different areas that are still requiring relief aid. Many different areas still require relief aid. And I think Mozambique, being our neighbor, right here at our doorstep, we owe a great deal to the people of Mozambique. And alhamdulillah, all these areas we go to, you know what really caught my heart? We went to an area, the masjid was flooded. Well, alhamdulillah, the water still didn't get into the masjid, but across around the masjid, even the veranda of the masjid, it was still in a flood. It was all water around. And alhamdulillah, in all of that, people were walking and swimming through the flood waters to come and perform salah. In fact, ourselves, we perform salah also in that one masjid. So alhamdulillah, with all of these adverse conditions, people are still holding on to their deen. People are still holding on to their deen. I want to wrap up on this one point. When I was leaving from Johannesburg International, the brothers in Beira told me, "Karisa, you coming here? Come with your own food and come with your own water. Because we ourselves, we are also in a desperate condition. And for that sake, take one of your suitcases and just fill it with bread. Just normal bread. Can you bring for us some bread?" So khair. So when I got to the airport, I was overweight. So somebody said to me, "Those three gentlemen standing over there, perhaps you can speak to them. They have no weight at all with them and they will help you." So I approached this group and I got speaking with them. So I said, "Okay, are you also on your way to Mozambique to help people?" Subhanallah. What answer do you think they gave me? They came from Brazil. They said to me, "We are missionaries. We are ultimately just going." They were cold. They were cold about this. Direct. They were not candid at all. They were direct to me, telling me, "We are going to Mozambique to convert Muslims to Christianity." Frank, direct, cold, telling me directly, "This is what we are going to Mozambique to do." That draws my mind back to 2008. In 2008, there's a place called Kilimani. Again, in this area, extensive flooding, the Gaza province. Extensive flooding. We went over there. I was staying in some lodge. The next morning, I heard a bit of a hoo-ha happening. I opened the window. I see a whole lot of white youngsters, European youngsters, who've now assembled. I came outside. I thought it's an evacuation. I asked them, "What's happening?" They said to me, "No, we're having a little mass. We're having a mass here. These youngsters who you see here, they're going to be deployed into the region. They will spend 6 months out there in the areas, in the fields. To do what? To do what? To call people to Christianity. This is the facts. I'm not taking things out of my pocket. I'm telling you directly as we experienced and as we're seated on the ground. We talk about our youth going on this expedition, this holiday, that holiday, you know, this school camp, you know, this school trip, excursion, etc. Here, 6 months, boys from Europe, young 16, 17, 18 year old boys from Europe, will spend 6 months of their time in the field doing what? Spreading the word of the Bible. So it's a very vicious world out there. I talked about opportunities in the beginning statements. Opportunities. For us, it's an opportunity to gain reward and ajr. For others, it's an opportunity to snatch the iman of our people. Allah protect us. Allah save us from desperation. That's my cry today. Allah protect us from desperation. Because when you are desperate, then you can resort to any means just to feed your tummy. Allah don't test us with that. Allah never test our iman in that state. Ameen. So my beloved brothers, if there's any questions, don't mind taking any questions as well. And alhamdulillah, you have a pledge form in front of you. We make a humble appeal that if you could pledge something for the people of Mozambique. Again, our teams, ourselves, we give the aid ourselves. There's no such thing as giving the aid to somebody else to pass it on to the people. No. We give with our own hands. This is the policy of the Al Imdad Foundation. Wherever we go in the world, our own people, they will distribute it with their own hands. And for that matter, there are not many recipients to collect the aid, we bring the aid back with us. So we make sure that whatever it is, we give with our own hands to the correct people, to the rightful recipients. We have to be very, very, very careful in this regard. So alhamdulillah, we have our teams that are visiting Mozambique, alhamdulillah, on a consistent basis. And alhamdulillah, we are there on the ground. Till now, we are there on the ground. We have our own setup at Darul Uloom, just outside Baira. We've set up an entire coordination center there. We've set up a warehouse as well there, alhamdulillah. And from there, we are coordinating our activities for the affected areas, alhamdulillah. If there's any questions, inshallah, we can take those questions as well.
Those pledge forms that we're given, anything, whatever amount that you can afford, inshallah. Whatever it is, as long as you've got that intention, Allah will reward you, inshallah.
And inshallah, maybe I'll take this opportunity. We'll invite any brothers who want to join us. If you want to join us to come over and be part of the distributions, you're more than welcome. You're more than welcome, inshallah, Allah Azza wa Jal. So, Maulana, before I sing for my supper, is there anything you want me, any questions I can take, you know, inshallah?
There is a group that is leaving, inshallah. We're just going to wait for tonight. Whoever inshallah wants to be part of that, inshallah, must contact me.
Okay, inshallah. So, Maulana Suleiman is here, alhamdulillah. If you want to be part of that group, which is going to be visiting Mozambique, you're more than welcome. I say to you, my beloved brothers, visit the world. Visit the world. And they say travel is a university on its own. Travel is a university on its own. I just got back from Norway and from Germany and from Sweden. I went for some Quran programs. And I can say to you, alhamdulillah, you know, the world is now waking up towards Islam. And people, especially the youth, are becoming hungry for the deen. For the deen of Islam, alhamdulillah. This is a reality. I went very close to the North Pole. I went very, very, very close to the North Pole. And alhamdulillah, I found brothers there, Muslim brothers there. And I said to them, subhanallah, Allah is choosing you people to sit in this part of the world and at least make sajda to Him. Alhamdulillah. So there's a lot of good things also happening in the world. It's not all gloom and doom. It's not all gloom and doom. But my cry is that we cannot become complacent. You know, trust me, here in South Africa, we take a lot of things for granted. One brother said to me, he's a professor, you know, there's a lot of people doing research. He said to me, Sheikh, I can tell you from my heart, just the ni'mat of halal meat is such a great ni'mat. Just to have halal meat. We live in this part of the world. Okay, yes, we are here for a certain work. We're here for research. We're here for our rozi. But we cannot come by halal meat. The closest place where we can get halal meat is a 2.5 hour flight away. This halal meat. You know. So we must make a lot of shukr. Make a lot of shukr. Let us also make a lot of dua for our forefathers. Imagine if our forefathers, had ventured out into this part of the world and they never set up makatibs. They never set up madrasas. They never set up masjids. They never set up the various institutions. What would be our halat today? What would be our halat today? You know, when I was in December, I went to Chile. I went to Chile. And I tell you, my beloved brothers, my heart was so touched. My heart was so touched. Because we found so many people. You know, when we went to visit them, they would come out with this book and show us this book is what has brought came to our family lineage and from generation to generation. When you open that book, it's a Quran. Mona Suleiman Jada has collected so many of these Qurans from the people. And many a times people ask us, if I am sitting with this Quran, then why am I not a Muslim? Why am I not a Muslim? How do you tell that person, you know, your forefather was a Muslim, and we really could not say why it was not disseminated, the ilm and the deen was not disseminated and passed on. So we, how fortunate are we that alhamdulillah, you know, Allah's fazl, our forefathers, when they came here, they were not complacent. You know, they made a stand. It was tough in those days. It was very, very tough. When I speak to my grandmother, she tells me about how tough it was in those days. But with all of that, they still set up madrasas. They still set up masjids. But today, myself and yourself, we can have this gift of iman. We can enjoy this gift of iman. Because ultimately, end of the day, you die with iman, you'll be successful. You die without iman, it's going to be very, very sad. That's why alhamdulillah, in the Al Imdad Foundation, as I mentioned to you, is an ulama guided organization. Even our strategy nowadays, we're putting a lot of emphasis nowadays on maktab and the disseminating of Islamic ilm. We're putting a lot of emphasis on madrasa and the maktab system. Why? If a person dies without food, it's a sad thing, it's very, very sad. But imagine if a person dies without iman. And when you're desperate, you leave the Quran and perhaps you take the Bible. This is the reality on the ground. And trust me, they have well-oiled machinery and mechanics in motion to snatch the iman of people. I went to the island of Lesbos at the height of the Syrian crisis. This island of Lesbos in the city of Greece. We all are part of the humanitarian fraternity. All of us. We should all be having equal rights to operate there. And in fact, more so us as Muslims. At the shore, when these rubber dinghies are coming with the refugees across, we are only 2% Muslims to meet 100% Muslim people coming on. The other 98% are all non-Muslim organizations. When these people come off those boats, what's the first thing they do? The first thing they do is they bring loud music, and they bring the dancers, and they give them a bit of a party. You've made it alive. Congratulations, you've made it alive. You're here. Welcome to Europe. Ask the brother, but why are you giving them this party? You know, we don't detraumatize our people in this way. So relax. We want to detraumatize them. They must get detraumatized. And we detraumatize people with music, etc. Nevertheless, I'll just cut the story short because time is of the essence here. Eventually, they put onto a huge barge. And this barge takes about 1,000 people. And then from Lesbos, they're taken towards Athens. We decided, let's seize the moment. Let's go and meet the people. Before they get onto the barge. And as you come there are hundreds of people. Just hundreds of people, you know. And we decided to read some Quran. We began to read Quran. We cannot enter the barge. But some of the priests, etc., they're allowed on board. As we're moving around, we see there's a pamphlet distributed to the refugees, the Syrian refugees. What's written in that pamphlet? One side of the pamphlet is, because you're a Muslim, you're suffering, where is your God, where is your Allah? All those questions. Turn the page the other way around. See, if you become a Christian, this is what you will have. You will have this, you will have that, savior this, savior that. You know, all the perks of becoming a Christian. And when you're desperate, Shaitan plays on you. Shaitan really plays on you. But nevertheless, we began to read some Quran. A few ulama were with me. After reciting the Quran, Syrian children are some of the most wonderful children you'll meet in your lives. They will really captivate your hearts. I tell you, Syrian children, amidst all their challenges, they will captivate your hearts. A few kids came to me. They told me, Sheikh, iqra Quran. Iqra Quran. I started reciting Quran for these kids. There might be about 6 or 7 of them. After that, it was time for them to board this vessel. I asked them a question. Do you have Mus'haf? Mus'haf mawjood? They said, nah, Mus'haf mawjood. We have a Mus'haf. I said to him, show it to me. When they showed it to me, wallahi, my beloved brothers, I would have collapsed. You know these Qur'ans which we have here, we call it the Miasfam Qur'ans, 39 Qur'ans. When I looked at this, it looked exactly like that. When I opened it, it was a Bible in Arabic. It was a Bible in Arabic. So, you know, even now when I was in Germany now, you know, we find a lot of Syrian refugees are now settled there, you know. But the propaganda is so strong, it's so strong to shred the iman of them. It's not a joke, you know, it's not a joke. And the only way in today's times, I say to people, the only lifelines we have left in our communities and the ummah is the maktab system and the work of tabligh. The maktab system and the work of tabligh. These are the two lifelines left in the ummah. And we should really, really look after these lifelines, inshallah ta'ala azza wa jal. My beloved brothers, I can speak from now till Fajr. And I'm sure most of you are hungry. And it's a Saturday night. We can wrap up, inshallah. If there's any questions before I sing for my supper, inshallah. If there's any questions, we'll take some questions, inshallah.